Hey, business besties, welcome back to the Female Founder World podcast. It's Jasmine, I'm the host of the show, and today I'm chatting with Sienna Brown, the founder of Glosshood. Let's get into the show.
You are now entering Female Founder World with your host, Jasmine Garnsworthy.
Sienna, welcome to Female Founder World.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I have wanted to do this. I wish I could say like my whole life, but I'm so serious. Ever since you started it, I've wanted to be on this podcast. So this is actually a dream come true for me.
Oh, that's so cool to hear. For people that don't know what you're building at Glosshood, how do you explain what it is that you guys are creating over there?
Yeah, at Glosshood, we are really about play, right? Glosshood is where beauty is play. And so we're into igniting your inner child through niche beauty products, right? And the first one that I ever was allowed to try was a lip gloss. So I started there. And you know, in the future, we'll expand and we'll play. But right now we're stuck on glosses, we're stuck on lips, and we're obsessed. It's so much fun.
And you're doing it so well. I love the branding. People need to go to your website. Is it glosshood.com? What's the website for people to go and check it out? Because that branding is impeccable.
Thank you, glosshood.com. Thank you so much. That means a lot to hear you say that, because just like when I was first starting, I had no money to kind of have someone else do like my brand deck and my messaging and all of these things. So I had my friends who worked it at different brands and all types of stuff just send me over their stuff. And they're like, hey, like you can look, and if you can pull anything from there, I was like, okay, cool. I taught myself Photoshop. I taught myself Illustrator, woke up every single day.
Wow.
And, you know, that's how I got the logo. That's how I got the colors. That's how I got the website. Like I was just doing it, running and gunning by myself.
That's incredible. This is like world-class branding. I can't believe that's self-taught.
Thank you.
Wow, that makes it even more impressive.
Thank you.
That is not just like the like entrepreneurial story though. It's kind of like, hey, I didn't have any money to figure it out, so I just figured it out. You know, like I couldn't pay someone else to do it. So you just, this is a skill that I just had to learn. And now you're, you know what, if the business doesn't work out, you could always be a graphic designer.
Thank you.
Is incredible.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk through the launch. You launched with the lip gloss. I think it was one SKU originally. And I don't know, I feel like you launched, it was like late 2020, and then you're kind of everywhere. And I want to understand what that launch process looked like as a bootstrap business and how you got that traction, because whatever you're doing has worked.
Thank you. You know, when I was first launching, it was really a point to launch. I didn't think about it, right? I was like, oh, I'll launch October 29th, 2020, because it was a year from the date that I quit my job, right? The last actual like job that I had. And so it was kind of like my internal FU to just like that past life. And so it was my driving force. I'm a Leo, so I need things to like fire me up. And every single day I'd be so tired, but I'd be working towards October 29th. People would be like, oh, let's push it. Let's do like November. I'm like, no, you're not getting it. Like October 29th, 2020, we're launching. And so with that being said, I made that my goal and I just went after it. So what I first did was actually realizing that it was going to be bigger than just Atlanta. So I'm based in Atlanta. And I had gotten on a call with some consultants and they were like, hey, we think you should test the market. We're not sure how it's going to sell, right? And I was like, okay, cool. They're like, yeah, like I wouldn't try to sell outside of Atlanta right now. I would just keep it very local. And in my brain, I was like, what? Like, keep it very local. Like, that's never really been me, right? Because I live here, but I've also lived in other states, right? I lived in New York for some time. I lived in LA. I lived in South Florida. And so I have friends all over the US, but then all over the world as well. And so I wanted my friends to at least get the gloss. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to open it up to everyone. And so I did. And one thing that I prided myself on was creating like a little influencer list, right? And it was so silly. I still have it and I still use it from time to time. But it was an influencer list of just people that I wanted to have the gloss, whether that was, you know, models that I knew, models that I didn't know, people who were starting out on TikTok, all of these things. I wanted them to have the gloss and I wanted them to have it before launch. So I sent that out about 2 weeks beforehand. And I said, hey, can you post before this date? Right. And a lot of my friends, they're in the entertainment industry. They're like, yeah, absolutely. We got you. And I was like, okay, cool. So that worked out very, very well for me. And definitely aided in what we were able to do within the first 5 days. I put up 500 units for sale, and within, I think it was 4 days, actually, we sold 500 units right out the gate, within 10 days, we sold out of nearly 2,500 units. And that blew my mind, because it was the power of social media. It was the power of mobilizing your network, right? Your friends, your family, but also people that you just wanted to be in connection with, right? So I was getting shameless. I tell people all the time, I have no shame when it comes to my business. Because I'll do anything for it, because I've given all of myself to it. I think when people see that you're that serious about your own stuff, they have no choice but to respect it and to look and say, like, let me pay attention to what you're doing.
100%. I think there's also something to be said for, like, if you believe in what you've created and you're truly like, I can stand behind this, I'm proud of it. Why wouldn't you tap every resource, every connection, every avenue? Because that's what it takes. And once you get to that point of like, I've done my best in creating this thing, now let's tell everyone about it. You have to be shameless.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I, you know, there's this interview that Tyler, the Creator, he actually does. And he's like, yeah, I post my stuff every day. Like I have been posting my album that I came out with a year and a half ago every single day, because he worked so hard on that album. So it would be such a disservice to create this thing, to want to bring this thing to life and expand it, but not be really showing up for it in the way that, you know, you expect for other people to show up for you.
I love that. Okay. So you have this amazing sellout launch, which, you know, a lot of people dream about. You made it happen, which is incredible. What happens next? Because you presumably don't have any product and you're seeing some traction. What's the next step?
So next, so I was using these tubes that I had gotten. This is one of my first glosses. This is Holy Gloss Bomb Hybrid. I was using these tubes and I had tubes, but I had no like actual, you know, product inside to put inside. And so at the time I was hand pumping it. I was making this myself. I was literally in there like, okay, now I have to make more. I need to make 1,000 more. Like, and it takes a lot of time, right? In addition to doing all the branding stuff, in addition to responding to emails and doing all of these things. Plus, it's my first time owning a business. I don't actually know what the hell I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm figuring out all of the things surrounding business, but then I'm also in the process of like hurrying to get this new product filled. And so that became a thing. And like, I'm so grateful because I have such incredible friends who know how serious I am about what it is that I wanted to accomplish and what I'm doing now. And they were all such a huge help. So we built like a huge, what is it called? Like a factory line almost. And so that was like my weekends. That would become my weekends. They would get off work and they'd come over for the day and, you know, we'd have sleepovers and all these things and they'd help me pack orders and get them out.
Amazing. Okay. So what happened? I want to understand how you've kind of scaled up on the production side.
Yes.
Let's keep talking about that for a second, because I think a lot of people, it's actually a great idea, I think, to start a business where it's something that you can like make yourself, whether that's a service-based thing where you can provide the service and you know how to do it, or you can teach yourself how to like physically create the product in the beginning. But there comes this inflection point when you start getting into retail, which you guys have, and you need more support and more systems around that.
Yeah.
How did you kind of grow more of a system and a process around your production? Because again, it's something that, I don't know, people just do it, but like, how do you do it? It's not easy. And there's no like guidebook to it.
There is no guidebook. But there is something else that is better than a guidebook. And it is the power of learning and being like obsessed with gaining knowledge. And so something that I have always made clear to people that I go into any type of business or partnership with, is that I do not know what I'm doing, and I'm coming to you and I'm hoping that you are willing to show me the ropes, because if you show me it once, I can do it forever. And that was kind of the conversation that I had with Nikeo and Patrick Herning when I was first joining 13 Loon, which happened very, very fast. So we were one of the first few brands over on 13 Loon. And, you know, they launched in, I think, October or November of 2020 as well. And we started conversations probably in around November. And so I was like, retail, like I'd never thought about other e-commerce. I was like, I don't know where to start, right? And so I told her, I said, hey, you know, if you're willing to show me the ropes, I am willing to learn, right? When I would make little mistakes, I'd be like, wait, can you explain this to me? And that's one thing about me. I'm not scared to ask questions. I think it kind of worked out very, very well because we started so small, right? 13 Loon started very small with just a few brands. And then, you know, there was conversation of going into JCPenney. And when those conversations started, that's when I was like, I think I need help. I cannot hand pump these. Like, this is insane.
There's 600 stores, right?
Yeah, there's 600 stores now. Well, there have always been, but we started with 10. So they started with a pilot of 10 stores. And that I could pump through. That was fine. But then they were like, oh, we're going to go into 300. I was like, oh, so it's getting very serious and I need a lot more support. And that's when, you know, I had a mentor, well, I still have her. She's sat me down and they told me, they were like, Sienna, you need a manufacturer immediately. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to keep going and you want to, you know, get into retailers and do all of these things, you need a manufacturer. There's no way that you can support what a retailer expects from you. And that's when I started to look into contract manufacturers. And that was a process. That was a process because so many times manufacturers are like, oh, it's 20,000 MOQ, right? Like that's your minimum order. And I'm like, well, I don't actually have the money or the use for 20,000 units, right? Like what's going to happen to those units? And so I put together an Excel sheet and I wrote down a bunch of indie friendly contract manufacturers. And I finally settled on one. And when I met them, they're a family run business in New Jersey. And I am just, I'm so grateful for the way that they run their business because it's so centered around love. There's like there's no pushiness. There's no like, oh, we can't do that. There's all like, hey, we want to help you achieve your dreams and your goals. And that's what I love the most. So I say one thing that I would tell every single person is like, be very mindful about who you go into business with. Be very mindful of the people that you're connecting with and, you know, make sure that they share the same values as you. However kooky as those values might be, like there are people out there who share the same values as you and you just have to find them.
How did you find that, like put that list together? Also, you're going to get people hitting you up in your DMs for that list. You just wait, it's going to happen. Were you just Googling like indie friendly beauty contract manufacturers? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. I like everything starts with Google for me. That's my best friend. Yeah. And I just started typing in like, low MOQ contract manufacturers. And even then, some of them would be like, oh, 5,000 is the lowest we can go. And I'm like, babe, I only need 500 or I only need 1,000 or 2,000. Mm-hmm. And so it became a thing of really creating a relationship. I think the most powerful thing that you can create in this business or any business are relationships because people actually want to help you. Like, I know it seems so weird with the way that the world is, but there are people who are actually wanting to do good and want to help you, but you have to share your story. You have to share your goals and your dreams and your aspirations. And sometimes that could be really scary, right? But I guess there's a moment of shamelessness and bravery that is necessary.
A lot of the people that I chat with kind of build this e-commerce business or this idea, you know, they start their company with the idea that they're going to be selling direct to consumer and then they go into retail and they realize, okay, my pricing is off. Like I'm not going to be able to make a profit or my packaging doesn't work on shelf. Did you have everything kind of like geared up and planned knowing that it was going to go into retail, or were there any kind of surprises as you were going that you had to make changes?
There were definitely some surprises, and I can definitely speak on that, because when I first started, I didn't think that we were going to go into retail, and I didn't think we were going to go into retail so fast. I just thought it would be a direct-to-consumer thing. So I was like, okay, I'll have time to work out the kinks, and I really didn't have that much time. So what I will say is, you know, I am a type of person, I've noticed this just about myself in life, I don't like to do things like, I don't like to dial anything in. I like to do things like right from the start. And so what I spent a lot of time doing at the very beginning was buying so many lip glosses. I probably have over 200 lip glosses, like no BS. It's the actual funniest thing. So I collected a lot of boxes and a lot of packaging so that I could understand what retailers might be looking for. And so I was in a way doing my own market research, right? That way I could gain a better understanding. And from that is how I actually was like, okay, this is what's necessary on a box. This is what needs to be there. These are the logos that have to be on a box. And I decided, I was like, you know what? One day there's going to be some kind of barcode. I don't know when, but someday there will be a barcode. Let me leave a little space on our first box. I think there's just something in you that once you set out to create a business or do something, there is nothing in the globe that will stop you. There is nothing that can stop you.
Totally. I agree. I sometimes say, like, I think there's this misconception entrepreneurship is this thing that you're like born knowing how to do. And I say often, like, it's not a gene, it's a job.
Yeah.
But it's something where it's like, there is a certain kind of person, I think, who once they commit to this dream and this idea, that then there's no turning back. And I think that's the piece where it's like, that's the inbuilt.
Yeah.
That's the gene, or that's the thing that's like core to you. It's not the skills on how to do it necessarily. That's all learned.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, honestly, when I look at it, and you know, I won't lie, I'm scared every day. I don't know what the hell I'm doing every day, but the thing that I am doing is I am trying, right? And if you do a little bit, the little bit each day makes up the big picture. And when you look at it and you're like, damn, I want to quit, or like, I can't do this today, I don't have the energy, you look back and you're like, wow, I am way closer to where I'm going than where I started from. And that in itself makes you get up and do everything that you can to like get it to the next day. Right.
Something that I think you've done really well and that I've been watching over the last couple of years as you've been building is press. You've been featured in, I don't know, everywhere. Who Art Where, The Cut, Glamour, Pop Sugar, Birdie, Beauty Independent. How has all of this press come about? As a bootstrap brand, do you have a publicist? Are you doing this yourself? Are they finding you organically? Tell me the story.
So it's a mixture of things. When we first started in 2020, because a lot of the press that I got, a lot of first-time press was just me by myself. And that was me being cold and reaching out to writers and editors in DMs, in emails, like a desperate little girl that I was. And like, you know, I had no shame. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. This is my brand. This is what I have to offer.
I still pitch editors on DM.
I do it all the time. Totally. And I'm like, hey, I'd love to send you some product. If you're willing to accept it, just let me know the best place to send it. I think that's the greatest thing that anyone can do, because most times writers and editors are looking for things to including wish lists. They're looking for really cool brands, the next big thing, like things like that, you know? And they want to be on the forefront of it, right? Because that would be really, really terrible if, you know, you just said, hey, I'm not going to look at this thing. And then it became this massive brand. And you were like, wow, they were trying to DM me about it two years ago. So I definitely think building relationships with writers and editors is something that I've done a great job at. But then also I had help in 2022. I hired for a few months. I was able to afford, and this was such a splurge for me, I was able to afford the services of Danica Daily PR. And what an incredible, incredible person. Like, her team is so amazing and they were so thorough. And, you know, she really helped me to get the product into the hands of so many influencers and editors. It was during such a busy season too, where it was like, it was almost like a trifecta, right? It was the stuff that we already had going. It was her reaching out, but then it was also holiday season. And so a lot of the press came around that time as well. Right now I have no publicist, but I will say that being a part of the Sephora Accelerate program was definitely something that helped me as well.
How did that opportunity come about? That obviously just, I think, really was quite a launch pad. Talk me through what the application process was like and what some of those key learnings are that you take out of that program for those of us who will never get the opportunity to do that one.
You know, it was such a whirlwind when everything was happening. So the process is, it's pretty long and it's really, really cool though, I will say. It's really about being yourself, honestly. Like, people are like, well, what were you saying? Like, so many people have asked me like, well, what'd you say to this question? Or like, how do you answer? And I'm like, it's when I tell you, it's pouring yourself into your application and being your full self, right? Like, guests, Sephora loves product, but you know what they love too? Founders. Like, they love people who are truly themselves, and we see it, right? And I think when you're able to have both the product, the branding, or all of the above, when you're able to have the product, the branding, the founder, and those three things are working together, then it's just like, yeah, it's a no-brainer to have you be a part of this program. And so, you know, once we actually were like selected, it was so nerve-wracking for me. Like, I was such a nervous wreck because I was like, looking at the other brands who were involved. I'm looking at like Brown Girl Jane, like I purchased Brown Girl Jane's fragrances before. I've literally, you know, was such a huge fan. I still am of We the People, right? Karen Young. And like, I was spiraling. I was like, how am I worthy of being beside these people? And, you know, there's such a thing that I've written down recently because I've just, you know, I think we talked about this actually. And it was a little bit about imposter syndrome, right? And it's this idea that, you know, you feel like you're not good enough or you're not worthy enough. And in so many moments when I've been building this business, I've had that. I've suffered from it. And, you know, it's really been an obstacle sometimes and gotten me just so in my head. And I've really now recently gotten to a place where I'm like, I am so tired of blocking my own blessings or not, you know, wanting these things to happen for me because I don't feel like I'm worthy, when the truth is like, clearly I am, because it's been put, like, this opportunity has been given to me, right? And it has been presented to me, and and they want me to be a part of this. So there's something there. And so for people who are suffering with imposter syndrome, I say, honest to God, like, it's hard, but like, you have to fight through it. You have to let that go. Even, you know, and I'll share this really quickly because this is really funny. It was the fact that you guys had reached out to me in 2020, I think last year, 2023, the beginning of 2023. And I, when I get tell you, I got the email and I literally closed my computer. I closed my computer. I said, oh my God, there is no way that they could want me to be a part of this podcast. Like, they have had everybody on here. There is no way that she could want me to be on this podcast. And I was so beside myself, right? And we had some communication. And then after that, I ghosted. And it was so just like, I was beside myself. Like, why did I do that, right? And I really was battling this feeling of not being worthy and feeling like I was, you know, as good as the other guests that you've had on the show, right? And it was this whole thing in my mind. And so when we finally reconnected for Female Founder World, right? I was like, oh, she's having this thing. I kind of want to go. And then we DM'd. I was like, I have to tell her about this when I finally meet her. And when you reach back out and you're like, hey, it's me again, I laughed so hard because I was like, this is the funniest story ever. Like, And I think it just goes to show what is for you is for you, right? I don't know personally what you believe in, but like I believe in God and the universe, and the way that God works is really like when something is for you, there is nothing in the world that can stop it. There is nothing in the world that can stop this opportunity that is in front of you. And so that's kind of the way that I started to look at the Sephora program as well, right? And it's just been something that has really built me up as a founder. It was so fast paced. It was so much learning. Like, I think people think that when you get into these accelerator programs, they're like, oh, it's just like for show. And like, oh, they just show you some slides and stuff. Like, no, we had homework. Like, it was like we were
that
in college,
is so amazing.
Okay?
That is
and
so
it was
amazing.
Really amazing. Yeah, it was so cool. And so that was really exciting. And honest to God, I wish there was a way for them to accept like everyone, so everyone can gain these teachings. But I think, you know, the people that and the brands that they do select, there are so many takeaways that we kind of adapt to, right? And you know, I can speak for my cohort when I say like we're all such girls, like we're all the types of women who really want to see each other win, but also see everyone in the industry win. Anytime founders want to talk, I'm like, yeah, let's talk. Like, where are you with your business? What's going on? What do you see for yourself?
Your
you
know, DMs like, are about
can
to
tell
blow
me
up.
About your messaging, like,
by the way,
know.
With this.
I'm more than willing to help. I love to understand like pain points. I love to share what it is that I do know, because I know that this stuff is,
yeah,
it's easy to gatekeep. I think it's easy to gatekeep, but guess what? I think it's so tacky. I think it's tacky and it's tasteless. And it says like, you don't think that other people are deserving of these things. Like, and the truth is that there's enough for everyone. So please reach out. Please understand that I do run a whole business, and you know, I'm trying my best, but I will get back to you. I do respond to everyone. And I love to talk to people. So
that is very
I am
generous.
Down to talk.
I have a couple of follow-up questions. First of all, about any, like specifically for you and for Glosshood, like a specific learning that you got out of the Sephora Accelerate program that you're like, yeah, that was really important. I needed to learn that.
Ooh, let's see. There were so many things. I think one of my favorite learnings was probably just the idea of like branding. Like you said, I'm very interested in that world and in that space. And so I wanted to know everything about how, you know, brands made it in not just Sephora, but in the world, right? And so that was kind of exciting to gain an understanding of like the root of a brand, right? How people, you know, you see like the McDonald's M, and then you start to think to yourself like, wow, I see this all the time. And you start, you know, relating Ronald McDonald to that M. You start relating red and yellow to that M. You know, all of these little things, and it's all coded. And so those are the things that you start to think about, and they kind of force me to think about that within my own brand.
So something else I want to ask you about, you launched with one product and then you added a couple more, but not for a while.
Yes.
And so I'm interested in like why that was the right move for the brand. Like people who are out there kind of figuring out how they add new products into their line, or when it was the time to do that. What learnings do you have?
I will tell you, I am such an instinct girl, and I don't let anyone push me to places faster than I need to be in them. Because one thing that I made a promise to myself is like, nobody else is going to make me broke. Like, you're not going to ruin me. If anyone's going to ruin me, it's going to be me. And so I really made a decision that I was just like, you know what, this is what I can afford at the time. And it's to do this one SKU, and it's to get this money from our partnerships and put it right back into the product and like make more money and do that right for as long as I can, and then look at creating new SKUs, right? Which I had been working on these two most recent glosses, Main Squeeze from the Main Squeeze collection. I had been working on these since, gosh, 2022. Yeah, 2022 or 2021 even. I think I got one of my first samples. And so, you know, everything takes time, right? I think so often, and this is what people don't realize, but when you get into retailers are not on your time. You're on their time, and they want new products now. You know what I mean? They don't want new products a year from now or whatever have you. They want it every few quarters, right? And so for me, I wanted to refine my process, and I still am in the process of doing that right now, refining my process, my operations, all of those things. And if anyone's listening and is an operations manager, please call me, because DM me, because I need you. I am on the hunt for an operations manager.
Let's talk about funding for a second. You started the business using your own money, your own savings, and you've been bootstrapping along the way. Mm-hmm. That is really hard, especially as you're rolling into retail. What have you learned about that? And like, what's your plan kind of moving forward? Are you guys going to keep bootstrapping? Are you fundraising? How are you thinking about it?
So I always tell people, if I could do this again, there is one thing that I would do differently, and it would be to gain an understanding of fundraising and what all that looked like at the forefront, like at the very beginning, because I would have probably fundraised first. I would have probably gotten that out of the way first. And now it's like I'm hustling backwards in so many ways. And so while it's fun and very like, you know, it's very up in the air, but it's also like teaching me so much in the moment, right? And now I have even better contacts that I can rely on and say like, hey, you know, what did you do when you were fundraising? Or like, what does this look like? Like, what's a safe? Like, what are all of these financial words and things? What do they mean? And so that's kind of the process that I'm in now, is like looking at what is this stuff, right? And how am I going to fundraise this money so that I can get to the next level? And I actually have another funny story for you, Jasmine, that you're going to love. So Female Founder World is a heaven-sent summit, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because I went in December of 2023 to you guys' first summit in Brooklyn, right? And let me tell you something, I had the best time ever, right? Aside from that, like, it was gorgeous. There were so many beautiful people. The vibes were immaculate. And I came in maybe 3 or 4 minutes late. So you guys are very punctual, and I love that. And because I was late, I sat in the back, right? There was literally no space left because everyone, it was like packed out, right? And I sat in the back with my best friend, and she also owns a company. It's called Gentle. It's incredible body butter. You guys go check that out. And we sat next to one person. She was literally the only person in that row. Her name is Katie. And she is incredible, right? And we kind of just connected from just, you know, listening to the stories that were being told at the summit. And we just kind of formed this bond. Like, it was like a trio that day. And she was just, I mean, she's out of this world. Come to find out, she actually works in finance, right? And she's very passionate about, you know, helping people to kind of just like get funding. And like, you know, she runs a group. I forget the name of the group right this second. But she is like a chair of the group, and she's really been such an amazing assist in just helping to get my numbers together for fundraising, figuring out my financial model, and all of these things that I don't necessarily understand, right? Of course, there was a book also that was recommended to me, Venture Deals. It's something that is very like, it's like layman's terms, right? And kind of teaches you the world of venture deals and fundraising and all of these things that you could have never imagined wanting to know, but like, it makes sense all of a sudden. So I have been doing what I do best and just teaching myself along the way as well. And when I do have a deck or anything of the sort put together, I would love to get that over to you.
Yeah.
Just so you could see it, because I mean, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about what Glosshood has to offer. And I think the more and more I hear the stories about people connecting with their inner child and, you know, not even their inner child, but I'm hearing stories of moms and grandmothers connecting with their Gen Z family members over this lip gloss. You know what I mean? I can't thank everyone enough for just being such a great supporter of what I'm building at Glosshood and being patient with me and being so kind to me.
I'm so excited for what you're creating. I can see that there's like just huge community support behind you. Like you can just tell that there is this kind of like swell of support around you that's kind of pushing you upwards and onwards. And I feel like it's very, I just get like an exciting feel when anytime I see you talk about the brand, whenever I see you guys on Instagram, and I'm just like, yeah, I just, things are coming. I think it's very exciting. I mean, big things have already happened, but even bigger things are coming for sure.
I can't wait, but I also can.
The last thing I want to ask you is for a resource recommendation. And that's just something that's been helping you that you think other folks who kind of want to do what you're doing, they should go and check out.
I'm going to recommend two things. One thing is an app that I use and I have used for years. They recently got bought by GoDaddy. So now it's called GoDaddy Studio. But it was formerly called... what was it called before? Over. It was called Over. And this is like, for me, it feels like Canva on like steroids. Like it's insane. Like it's really, really cool. The things that you're able to do, they have templates. They have all these things. Personally, I don't use the templates because like, I'm always like very in my mind about how I want something to look. So I'm just like, let me create it. But it's really truly for a founder that's on the go, for a founder or a social media manager or anyone that is doing graphics. It's really incredible. I've been able to print massive posters from things that I create on my phone. I've been able to create literally all of the graphics that you see on Glosshood, on Glosshood's Instagram. Are things that
amazing.
I've created.
I'm just looking at I'm just like, I'm on the website now. I'm like, how are you doing this? Okay, very cool.
So that's one of my favorite ones. I think it's like $99 a year for their pro plan, which is amazing and gives you access to a lot of resources within the app. So yeah, I love them. And then another thing that I would recommend is like, this is something that I've started to do over the years because I realized that I was just all work, work. I was all work and it wasn't driving me crazy per se, but it was really just like weighing on me. Right. And I realized that I need hobbies. And so I want to encourage people to find hobbies, find things that you love that you don't necessarily have to monetize. And so I think it's hard too for entrepreneurs and people with entrepreneurial spirit to look at something and say, oh, I don't see a dollar in it. You know what I mean? It's hard.
So it's true. Hard to,
like not want to make
it's everything. So true. It's like,
business.
Just do it for the joy of it. It's not trying to make it your work.
Yes. Yes. So that's kind of what I've decided to lean into. And so I do my nails all
the nails
time.
Are amazing.
Really great at doing my nails.
Deanna, thank you. Thank you so much
for
coming on Female Founder World. And congratulations on everything you're building at Glosshood. It has been awesome to watch you build.
Thank you so, so much for having me.
Quick shout out to all of our business bestie subscribers. If you are loving this show and you are building a consumer, CPG or e-commerce business, or you're about to build one, this membership will give you access to the people, experiences and the tools that you really need to build your dream business. Head to femalefounderworld.com/subscriber for more.